My name is Beth Brandis, and I work at Guerin Catholic High School, and I am the freshman and sophomore counselor. Used to be for all freshmen and sophomores, but as we've grown, I actually have the alphabetical split M through Z.
Oh, okay. And how long have you been doing that, Beth?
I am in my fifth year.
Oh, wonderful. Can you tell me just a little bit about some of the challenges that you were facing when you first contacted Susan?
Certainly. You know, actually, myself and our guidance director and just our office in general were discussing different programs and initiatives and talking about kind of like our year-end review and report and where we thought maybe our students could benefit, especially transitioning from middle school to high school, and myself being a former middle school teacher, kind of looking at maybe where, especially the freshmen in particular, as, you know, it's their first year and a very important year in the transition into high school, that they do well and they're successful not only through high school, but then we also give them skills to build on post-secondary career and life in general. And we started talking about study skills. And, you know, it seemed kind of funny because if you look at our students, kind of our demographics, it's a very high-functioning, I would say, well, diverse, well-educated, like I said, demographically. So to say, and looking at these kids who are, for the most part, very, very gifted and talented, seeing study skills, how does this apply? And for me, it was pretty, well, I guess I should say for all of us involved, it was pretty easy to see because some of these students are, so I will say, blessed with their academic aptitude. They really haven't had to tap into, I would say, your true study skills, being whether it be reading strategies or note-taking or just studying in general or how to study for tests, because just with their innate ability have been able to get by or do better than get by. I shouldn't say just get by. I mean, they're you know, A's, B's, and really never really had to open a book and put forth that extra effort. So freshman year for most students is somewhat, I would say, of a easy transition academically. It's not too demanding. I mean, certainly it does pose some challenges just for the fact that they're in high school, but still able to kind of, I don't know, use that same method or approach that they had been K through 8 and do somewhat well, but it was starting to slowly catch up to them. So the reason, from what we had seen and what we were experiencing, we thought, well, if we can help them out even just a little bit more by giving them some skills and resources that they are going to need, and they are going to need to know how to utilize, why not start with the freshmen and give them something that, like I said, again, they can help them currently with where they're at in high school, but then, like I said, post-secondary and beyond.
So you've focused on the freshmen themselves now. How long have you been working with Susan, or when did you first start the program?
This is our second year. We just completed our second year of the Source Study School curriculum, and the last year being our first, we kind of were playing around with it, and we actually brought Susan in a year ago last summer when we were first implementing the program. And since we have this period called Kairos, which is our faith formation time, also academic support, there's a lot that goes on during that period, but faith formation for the first 15 to 20 minutes where they kind of are, our students, the freshmen, are paired with their freshman teachers, but then sophomore through senior males, as well as sophomore through senior females, are paired then with a corresponding female teacher, male students with male teachers. I mean, it's kind of like an extended family of home. You know, they it's a very close bonding time period, especially from a faith formation aspect, and where they attend mass as a group and other things. But then the 30 minutes, it's a 45-minute period, so the remaining 30 minutes are for academic support, where students can see teachers or make up tests or, you know, work on homework, whatever they need to do during that time. We thought this would be the perfect place or opportunity to have our freshman teachers come to know their students, the freshman students, even better, and to incorporate the study skills curriculum and to enforce it with them as they would see them all day long, and all of their teachers who taught the freshman curriculum would be in sync.
I guess that leads me into another question. Since you started working with Susan and with SOAR study skills, how do you see things differently? How are the students responding? And one thing I know that Susan mentioned to me personally when she was there speaking with you guys, she spoke to a parent who was really juggling between which of the two schools she wanted to enroll her student in, and it was the study skills piece that she was most concerned about, and so she was actually thrilled to know that you guys were providing that. And Susan mentioned to me, and she says, boy, you know, I don't think a lot of times schools think of the fact that this really can be a deal breaker to a degree with some people, could really be a great piece that they could use to help bring more students to their school. So I know that that was an important thing to their parents, so I would be curious as to how you've seen things different and change and how that's been working for you.
Definitely. I would have to agree. It's especially for, you know, private or Catholic schools like ourselves where it's tuition-based and the numbers are important to us, and so that definitely could play an important role. But I see a mixture of things. I see students who have been very happy with the program, as well as parents, and sometimes I think at this stage in the game, your parents are going to be the ones that tend to appreciate it more than the students, and that just happens to be, you know, where they're at developmentally. That's just the difference between an adult and a teenager. And
right.
It's not, I guess, you know, I see the teenagers or our freshmen seeing some very good things. Like I said, even if it's one strategy or one initiative that they learned that they can take with them to improve what they're doing to make them a more efficient learner, then great. I mean, that's one more thing you've empowered yourself with. So I see it being positive all the way around. Like I said, and you could draw a lot of positives from it, but I think sometimes what we have fought just in general, not even with SOAR, it would be anything, is because, like I said, these students still don't see the need of certain skills because, like I said, freshman year, they're still able to do what's working for them. It's
yes.
still it's still working to a certain mm-hmm. degree because it's still possible in the freshman year, where that possibility starts to become less and less as they go on through high school, as it should, as the expectations step up, and the fact that they're in a private Catholic college prep environment. So it is different. The expectations are a little bit different. But with the parents, you know, seeing this and recognizing this, where their students' strengths are and their strengths to be had, they appreciate those aspects of organization and the binder system to help them to get organized, or with their locker or those pieces. Whereas I would say for our kids, certainly there are aspects of SOAR, at least of the test-taking, note-taking, that can help all of our students. But I see those kids who are a little bit higher achieving. With our groups in general, it seems to be organization is huge for them. Anything, and like I said, the binder system and the organization, the planning method, the planner that they choose,
yes.
is huge. That's a very big element or piece for our kids I see across the board, because to me that's kind of the fundamentals, the basics. These are the things you have to be doing first in order for the other aspects or topics that you're covering in SOAR to work. I mean, you have to be doing the simple things first. And to me, the simple things are, I apologize, Cheryl, as I'm going to be fighting announcements here.
That's okay.
But in simple steps, meaning, like I said, just the fact that do you writing down your assignments, do you know where you wrote down those assignments? Or did you even write down your assignments? And if you did, where did you put them? Did you put them on sticky notes? Did you write them in your calendar on your mm-hmm. laptop? Did you write them in your school planner? I mean, we still have kids that are still fighting those battles. And then, of course, the binder system, you know, kids having something that they can keep in order and organized in order to find, like I said, homework assignments getting turned in. You think, oh, well, they're a freshman in high school. They're 14, 15 years old. They should have this down. But there's still a lot of kids that's their biggest nemesis.
Sure.
And keeping them from being prepared and successful in their day-to-day activities. So I just, as I told Susan, and I'll share with you, I just, to me, like I said, being an educator, being a counselor, being a former teacher and a parent, I just see huge rewards with this program. And like I said, certainly there are students who see that, but I think the parents appreciate even more. And it gives them tools to kind of like to equip them in how to handle their students, and gives them tips and or suggestions on how they can handle different aspects that maybe their student is struggling with, along with us as a school.
Now, I have another question for you, too, and it made me think about this as you were telling me about, you know, that they're freshmen and then you're going to be going to the second year of having a group. I think it'll be kind of interesting to watch to see if that class, as they keep moving through, if they seem to have better success in staying organized and all of that, having had this foundation.
The one thing I can tell you, and I apologize because I don't have these statistics in front of me, but we did kind of a breakdown we gave them. We looked at the study skill scorecard, which we use as a pre- and post-test with our students.
Mm-hmm.
And then we kind of looked at the averages of that in the different categories and looked at where students felt that they were stronger or weaker, and we kind of had a breakdown of that. And it was very positive. I mean, looking at that, and I apologize, I don't have that information to share with you, because we wanted to see kind of gauge, you know, where we're at and see what they thought and if it aligned with our own thoughts from a guidance perspective, since we're the ones facilitating the process through our freshman teachers. And I can say this, the class last year, who are this year's sophomores, so the class of 2013, the current sophomores who would have done the SOAR program last year, I can remember, like I said, after having, we're on a trimester system, so they're 12 weeks long. And so roughly the middle of November last year, a year ago November, when the students had finished and they'd taken their first high school finals ever, looking at those no credits, and we had roughly 185 students, 185 freshmen in the class, and we get a no credit list. And for us, a no credit is anything below 74%. Anything less than a C minus does not count as a grade and does not go on the transcript. Or excuse me, it's on the transcript, but it shows up as an NC, a no credit, or as a failure. And that was, and compared to previous years, I just remember that was an ultimate low of no credits that we had for the end of the first trimester. Now, to say, could we hone in on and say that SOAR was the advocate for that and help, you know, keep them from failing particular classes? It'd be hard to say. I mean, there's multiple variables that you could look at. However, I certainly know it didn't hurt them. And I know that there were probably some things in there that helped them stay fresh, and maybe they were more attentive to because they were doing that and they were practicing it and they were actually putting it into action. Mm-hmm. So that was very positive for us to see as well. And then in comparison to other trimesters, you know, I don't have that. I just remember myself and the other freshman and sophomore counselor looking at that and saying, wow, this is great. At least we can say, I'm sure it played some role in it, obviously, you know, having done that. So that was another positive for us to see and to kind of attribute to SOAR as well as a help.
Well, and I know that SOAR's number one objective is through study skills to help students realize that they can learn to be strategic with learning and to be organized. And so, you know, one of the questions I was going to ask you is, if keeping that in mind, if you saw any signs or evidence from students actually becoming more strategic or taking greater initiative in managing their schoolwork, and it kind of sounds like that's just sort of happening.
Yes, the only way I can prove that and say there's a correlation between that and actual SOAR are the one-to-one sit-down meetings, which we have with our students at least once, sometimes twice a year with each grade level, and them actually sharing that feedback, which we do during our freshman meetings. So, and that was coming through, and some of it was student volunteered, and some of that was, you know, counselor-led questions. So it was very positive as a whole, and the students are pretty upfront and honest, and will tell you how they feel, which I appreciate, and not just because you're an adult or whatever else. I mean, they'll be pretty honest about, yeah, I saw that as very beneficial, or no, I think I'm doing okay here, or whatever. But it was very positive with the students in saying that this was an area that I was a little bit with, but now I have some tips or suggestions, and I'm really trying to work at that. So that was good. At least whether they are or not, the fact that they were cognizant of it and were able to talk about it makes me believe that, yes, I mean, it has had effect on maybe some of their how they plan things and what their strategy is for attacking different things. So, yeah, I do. I really do believe that, like I said, it does make them think about some things that, one, they've learned a very long time ago but have not been reinforced maybe for several years or ever or whatever, and we're making them revisit some things or introducing some new things, concepts that every student should know and know how to utilize, but for whatever reason, they've gotten away from, and so we want to get them back on track to make sure that they are maximizing their God-given potential. That's our number one.
I do appreciate your time, and I want to be respectful of that, and I just have a couple of other things real quickly.
That's
for
fine.
You. Obviously, you've had a really good experience working with SOAR and with Susan and had some great results with that, but on a personal level, what was it like working with Susan?
I thoroughly enjoyed working with her. It makes me kind of reminiscent of when I was back in the classroom. That's what I feel like, our conversations and having that dialogue, it takes me back there, which is a fond memory of mine, and that's the number one thing I miss of being a counselor, is not getting to have, we get a lot of interaction with our students, one-to-one, small groups, you name it, we have a lot of different, we're very blessed and fortunate in that way, and being a smaller school that we're able to get in the classrooms and do things with our kids, we're very hands-on, but Susan is so very easy to work with, and so, like I said, so flexible, so supportive, very prompt. I feel like whatever I would need, she's going to go the extra mile in order and try to meet that or support or assist in any way she can. So I think that's another reason why her program is so successful, because she's so passionate about it, and you can see that. So anytime you're passionate about what you're doing and you're willing to put yourself out there and help others, I think you're almost guaranteed success. So,
boy, I couldn't agree with you more on that, that's for sure.
Oh, thank you.
Well, I so appreciate your time, and I know that I want to give you one last opportunity. I know that one of the things that Susan has asked me is to give you the opportunity to share with her if there's any anything during your experience with her that you felt could have been done better, or any limitations you experienced, or even any suggestions you might have for additional services that she could provide for you in the future that she might not even have considered that would be helpful to you?
Oh, well, great. Thank you, Cheryl. I appreciate that. There's nothing, I mean, I guess I say, you know, urgent or that takes priority that I see, you know, really needing any. I just, the fact that I'm kind of the one that facilitates it and runs it with our freshman teachers, it's kind of my baby, and I set up, you know, all the lesson plans. I put together all the lesson plans for the teachers and get those to them, you know, the week prior to the lesson. And so really all they have to do is just take my notes and take what I've given them in lesson plan format, and then kind of convey that to the students and then start that dialogue and conversation with what needs to be done. So, you know, I've really taken that to heart, and I fine-tune a couple things this year as I continue to work with the students. But one of the things I thought was helpful, and actually she did this with our guidance director, Martin Kirkwood, is she sat down, because we do this on a trimester system. As I told you, we're on trimester, so we roughly our trimesters are from August to November, November to February, and then February to May.
Okay.
Sometimes spills a little into June. Our goal was to do this, you know, making sense at the beginning of the year and basically taking the first trimester to implement these various study skills. And also, out of respect for our teachers, we try to leave some time, but we use about 10 of the 12 weeks for SOAR. And that's only taught one day a week. But, you know, the focus is then hopefully they'll revisit those ideas not only during SOAR time, but also then they'll see those strategies and techniques that they're learning used throughout their freshman curriculum as the freshman teachers are teaching that.
Right.
So, you know, the hope is that they're getting that constant reinforcement, which for the most part I really believe they are. But it really was, like I said, and in coming back to, as I kind of trailed off there, is we had the week, since we have 10 weeks and there's more topics, I believe there's about 15 topics or so, and I apologize not having that in front of me.
That's okay.
But we kind of sat down with Susan, or she sat down with Mr. Kirkwood to kind of plan out, okay, which topics do you think are adamant, which ones do you think are necessary, and then what order would you teach those in, and kind of compare them to the table of contents. Would you stay with that order or whatever? So that was very helpful, and I was grateful for that. And so what I tried to do this year to make the most of things, as some things I think are, of the topics she gave us, are imperative, like I said, to teach the students, and especially like the test-taking is a little bit a longer endeavor, and there's a couple others too, like the binder system that we want to make sure they really get down, that I've tried to fine-tune and tweak. So I guess, you know, that would be the only thing that, and that's what I need to do, is just get in touch with Susan to see, okay, would you still agree with this system that we have in place? Would you think that we need to change anything, or is there a better way we could be doing this? You know, so more just kind of a checking in and
sure.
kind of debriefing session
mm-hmm.
about what's going on. But that's it. I mean, other than that, I feel pretty good and confident, as we've had, like I said, we've had a lot of positive feedback regarding this program. So
no, I'll be passing this on to her. She'll be listening to the recording, so I'll make sure that she notes that, and because I'm sure that this will be of real interest to her to talk to you about that. So. Well, I think that's pretty much it as we wrap this up. I guess the only last thing I'd have for you, Beth, is if somebody were interested in working with SOAR, is there anything that you would want them to know that's important that you might not have already shared with me?
It kind of comes back to what I said about Susan. I think, you know, someone working with SOAR, I mean, you definitely have to be passionate and the knowledge and, you know, you love what you're doing, then, you know, it makes things that much easier. And for me, this is kind of like I said, it gives me a chance to kind of reminisce and put myself back in the classroom and teaching, which I love to do. And like I said, I live for every moment that I get to be with the students and in front of them and teaching them and interacting with them. So for me, that putting this curriculum together and actual lesson plans isn't a task for me, as it is more of a, almost like a therapy.
Yes.
It's a hobby. It is. It's relaxing. It just kind of fits together. Definitely the word that, like I said, comes to mind is definitely passionate. And like I said, you got to love what you do. And you have to find out, I think what's very important, I guess I would add to that, is you need to put yourself in the shoes of a teenager. You definitely have to be able to do that. And I'm not saying my teaching experience at middle school gave me the experience or background to do that, but it certainly helped. And I love that age group. And to me, freshmen, there's very little difference between freshmen and middle school children. But I think it's very important, like I said, to be able to put yourself in their shoes so you can identify with where they're at and what skills, I mean, developmentally,
yes.
Socially, physically, emotionally. I mean, there's a lot of things to consider. So I try to do that when I'm doing this to make sure it makes sense it would make sense to a freshman and how they can get the most out of each lesson. So it's not just that, okay, well, I need to get this done, and here's what I got to hit, here's the points that I have to hit, the objectives, and make sure I've covered it, but as to what are the students going to draw from this experience. Certainly, I can't be in there to teach them the lessons. That's going to be also based upon the teacher that they have. But I try to do everything that I can do on my end to account that I'm going to provide the best lesson possible for them and best experience.
Well, and I do know personally that when I was speaking to Susan about you as we were talking about the you know, interviews, is that she spoke very highly of you, and I know she's really personally enjoyed working with you, and I can see why, because I think you're two very passionate people that really care about the students and that the you know that they have a good experience and that you prepare them for bigger things and better things in life. So congratulations to you. It sounds like you're doing a really good thing there, Beth.
Well, Cheryl, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. I do. Education is near and dear to my heart, as both my parents are educators, and I have two other siblings, and one is also another educator.
Oh, wow.
There's only one of us, so we're definitely in the majority there. So like I said, I think it's in the genes, but I sincerely appreciate, like I said, your phone call and taking the time to ask me these questions, as it's a privilege for me to, like I said, help both you and Susan out and do what I can to promote SOAR, as like I said, I thoroughly enjoy having it under my wing. So.
Oh, thank you, Beth. I appreciate it as well. It's really been fun talking with you, and I appreciate you making time for me today in your busyness.
Well, thank you, and I hope, like I said, I hope you and Susan both have a wonderful holiday season.
Thank you.
I look forward to, and please, pass along to Susan that I look forward to speaking with her in the future, and that she have a wonderful Christmas and New Year's as well.
I would be happy to do that for you. Thanks so very much, and you have a great holiday yourself, Beth.
Hey, take care, Cheryl.
You too.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.